We're continuing chapter 13 of Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets. Harry couldn't explain, even to himself, why he didn't just throw Riddle's diary away. The fact was, even though he knew the diary was blank, he kept absentmindedly picking it up and turning the pages as though it were a story he wanted to finish. And while Harry was sure he had never heard the name T.M. Riddle before, it seemed to mean something to him, almost as though Riddle was a friend he'd had when he was very small. And half forgotten. This was absurd. He'd never had friends before Hogwarts. Dudley had made sure of that. Nevertheless, Harry was determined to find out more about Riddle. So, the next day at break, he headed for the trophy room to examine Riddle's special award, accompanied by an interested Hermione and a thoroughly unconvinced Ron, who told them he'd seen enough of the trophy room to last him a lifetime. Riddle's burnished gold shield was tucked away in a corner cabinet. It didn't carry details of why it had been given to him. Good thing, too, or it'd be even bigger and I'd still be polishing it, said Ron. However, they did find Riddle's name on an old medal for magical merit, and on a list of old head boys. He sounds like Percy, said Ron, wrinkling his nose in disgust. Prefect, head boy, probably top in every class. You say that like it's a bad thing, said Hermione in a slightly hurt voice. The sun had now begun to shine weakly on Hogwarts again. Inside the castle, the mood had grown more hopeful. There had been no attacks since those on Justin and nearly headless Nick, and Madame Pomfrey was pleased to report that the mandrakes were becoming moody and secretive, meaning they were fast leaving childhood. The moment their acne clears up, they'll be ready for repotting again, Harry heard her telling Filch kindly one afternoon. And after that, it won't be long until we're cutting them up and stewing them. You'll have Mrs. Norris back in no time. Perhaps the heir of Slytherin had lost his or her nerve, thought Harry. It must be getting riskier and riskier to open the Chamber of Secrets with the school so alert and suspicious. Perhaps the monster, whatever it was even now settling down itself to hibernate for another 50 years. Ernie Macmillan of Hufflepuff didn't take this cheerful view. He was still convinced that Harry was the guilty one, that he had given himself away at the dueling club. Peeves wasn't helping matters. He kept popping up in crowded corridors singing, "Oh, Potter, you rotter," now with a dance routine to match. Gilderoy Lockhart seemed to think he himself had made the attacks stop. Harry overheard him telling Professor McGonagall so while the Gryffindors were lining up for Transfiguration. "I don't think there will be any more trouble, Minerva," he said, tapping his nose knowingly and winking. "I think the chamber's been locked for good this time. The culprit must have known it was a matter of time before I caught him. Rather sensible to stop now before I came down hard on him. You know what the school needs now is a morale booster. Wash away the memories of last term. I won't say any more just now, but I think I don't know just the thing." He tapped his nose again and strode off. Lockhart's idea of a morale booster became clear at breakfast time on February 14th. Harry hadn't had much sleep because of a late-running Quidditch practice the night before, and he hurried down to the Great Hall slightly late. He thought for a moment that he'd walked through the wrong doors. The walls were covered with large, lurid pink flowers. Worse still, heart-shaped confetti was falling from the pale blue ceiling. Harry went over to the Gryffindor table, where Ron was sitting looking sickened, and Hermione seemed to have been overcome with giggles. "What's going on?" Harry asked them, sitting down and wiping confetti off his bacon. Ron pointed to the teacher's table, apparently too disgusted to speak. Lockhart, wearing lurid pink robes to match the decorations, was waving for silence. The teachers on either side of him were looking stony-faced. From where he sat, Harry could see a muscle going in Professor McGonagall's cheek. Snape looked as though someone had just fed him a large beaker of Skelligro. "Happy Valentine's Day," Lockhart shouted, "and may I thank the 46 people who have so far sent me cards. Yes, I've taken the liberty of arranging this little surprise for you all, and it doesn't end here." Lockhart clapped his hands, and through the doors to the entrance hall marched a dozen surly-looking dwarfs. Not just any dwarfs, however. Lockhart had them all wearing golden wings and carrying harps. "My friendly card-carrying cupids," beamed Lockhart. They will be roving around the school today delivering your valentines, and the fun doesn't stop here. I'm sure my colleagues will want to enter into the spirit of the occasion. Why not ask Professor Snape to show you how to whip up a love potion? And while you're at it, Professor Flitwick knows more about entrancing enchantments than any wizard I've ever met, the sly old dog. Professor Flitwick buried his face in his hands. Snape was looking as though the first person to ask him for a love potion would be force-fed poison. "Please, Hermione, tell me you weren't one of the 46," said Ron as they left the Great Hall for their first lesson. Hermione suddenly became very interested in searching her bag for her schedule and didn't answer. All day long, the dwarfs kept barging into their classes to deliver valentines, to the annoyance of the teachers, and late that afternoon, as the Gryffindors were walking upstairs for charms, one of the dwarfs caught up with Harry. "Oi, you, Harry Potter!" shouted a particularly grim-looking dwarf, elbowing people out of the way to get to Harry. Hot all over at the thought of being given a valentine in front of the line of first-years, which happened to include Ginny Weasley, Harry tried to escape. The dwarf, however, cut his way through the crowd by kicking people's shins, and reached him before he'd gone to 2 paces. "I've got a musical message to deliver to Harry Potter in person," he said, twanging his harp in a threatening sort of way. "Not here," Harry hissed, trying to escape. "Stay still," grunted the dwarf, grabbing hold of Harry's bag and pulling him back. "Let me go," Harry snarled, tugging. With a loud rip, his bag split in two. His books, wand, parchment, and quill spilled onto the floor, and the ink bottle smashed over everything. Harry scrambled around, trying to pick it all up before the dwarf started singing, causing something of a holdup in the corridor. "What's going on here?" came the cold, drawling voice of Draco Malfoy. Harry started stuffing everything feverishly into his ripped bag, desperate to get away before Malfoy could hear his musical valentine. "What's all this commotion?" said another familiar voice as Percy Weasley arrived. Losing his head, Harry tried to make a run for it, but the dwarf seized him around his knees and brought him crashing to the ground. "Right," he said, sitting on Harry's ankles. "Here's your singing valentine." His eyes are as green as a fresh pickled toad. His hair is as dark as a black board. "I wish he was mine. He's really divine. The hero who conquered the Dark Lord." Harry would have given all the golden Gringotts to evaporate on the spot. Trying valiantly to laugh along with everyone else, he got up, his feet numb from the weight of the dwarf. As Percy Weasley did his best to disperse the crowd, some of whom were crying with mirth. "Off you go, off you go. The bell rang 5 minutes ago. Off to class now," he said, shooing some of the younger students away. "And you, Malfoy." Harry, glancing over, saw Malfoy stoop and snatch up something. Leering, he showed it to Crabbe and Goyle, and Harry realized he'd gotten Riddle's diary. "Give that back," Harry said quietly. "Wonder what Potter's written in this," said Malfoy, who obviously hadn't noticed the year on the cover and thought he had Harry's diary. A hush fell on the onlookers. Ginny was staring at the diary, from the diary to Harry, looking terrified. "Hand it over, Malfoy," said Percy sternly. "When I've had a look," said Malfoy, waving the diary tauntingly at Harry. Percy said, "As school prefect." But Harry had lost his temper. He pulled out his wand and shouted, "Expelliarmus!" And just as Snape had disarmed Lockhart, so Malfoy found the diary shooting out of his hand into the air. Ron, grinning broadly, caught it. "Harry," said Percy loudly, "no magic in the corridors. I'll have to report this, you know." But Harry didn't care. He was one up on Malfoy, and that was worth 5 points from Gryffindor any day. Malfoy was looking furious, and as Ginny passed him to enter her classroom, he yelled spitefully after her, "I don't think Potter liked your valentine much." Ginny covered her face with her hands and ran into class. Snarling, Ron pulled his wand out, too, but Harry pulled him away. Ron didn't need to spend the whole of charms belching slugs. It wasn't until they reached Professor Flitwick's class that Harry noticed something rather odd about Riddle's diary. All the other books were drenched in scarlet ink. The diary, however, was as clean as it had been before the ink bottle had smashed all over it. He tried to point this out to Ron, but Ron was having trouble with his wand again. Large purple bubbles were blossoming out of the end, and he wasn't much interested in anything else. And I think we'll stop there. I hope you like that beautiful kitchen. And it's time for some bed. Sleep well and sweet dreams. I love you. Good night.